Pray, Lord, bless you tonight. I thank the Lord for his goodness and for his mercy. And thank you for the word of God that we have tonight. I'm not sure whether I'm in my iPad or my Bible, but I'm in one of them. And, thank God. Praise his name. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures tonight. And the other day, I was coming in, and I was praying, and I was Tuesday was fasting Tuesday. Picked up a fast on Tuesday, and just asking God to do something and to speak and to, you know, just to hear from God. And I needed a refreshing, and as I was coming in, I've been praying, and maybe it was Wednesday. Yeah, it was Wednesday because I've been fasting. And as soon as I got out of the car, you know, I've been praying and asking the Lord, you know, break the yoke and do all these things. As soon as I got out of the car, my neighbor, Lyndon, across the street here at the church was out. And he's Presbyterian, not that that matters. But he said something to me, and the Spirit came in like a flood. Yeah. Not from him. It was what the Spirit said to me about what he said. It wasn't bad. It was good. And I want to look tonight in Philippians. Philippians, the first chapter. And that's the most of my what I'm talking about tonight in Philippians, the first chapter. But I'm going to look also, before I get to Philippians, the first chapter, at Romans 1 and 16, I think it is, where Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a familiar scripture.
1 and 16.
And I'm also going to look at Romans 11 and 14, and 1 Corinthians 9 and 22, and I think that's going to be it. 1 Corinthians 9 and 22, and Romans 11 and 14. But the first scripture I'm going to look at is Romans 1 and 16. And as you're getting there, that's the reason why I usually use my iPad, though, is because I can also use the parallel at the same time. And some of the some of you, when you tune in, you also use a New Living Text, and it's easier to follow in that. So I don't have a problem with that either. Romans chapter 1. And about verse 16. And Paul says in this, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a gospel unto salvation to everyone to believe it, to the Jew first and to the Greek." And I want to say also, even though you translate most of the time ashamed as being someone who is either embarrassed or doesn't want other people to see them doing things. Can everybody hear me? Okay. Is it hearing okay? In the Bible, ashamed often means that you're not disappointed.
Right, yes.
When David says, "Let me not be ashamed," yes, he means the Lord is not going to let me be disappointed.
Right,
when he
yes.
says, "I shall never be ashamed for God," in other words, you know, yep. the boast that I've made about God and the confidence mm-hmm. I have in God, God is not going to let me mm-hmm. down. And in that regard, I'm not going to look bad because God is going to see
yes,
me through.
Yes.
Now, when Paul says in Romans, the first chapter, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ," in other words, he says, "I don't mind putting it out there."
Yes.
And we like to make it look like, "Oh, you're ashamed of God." No, he says, "I don't mm-hmm. mind putting it out there." And, you know, if you are afraid to speak up for God and to say things for God, then in that regard, ashamed is true.
Yes.
But Paul's case, he's saying to this, I am not afraid to put the gospel, you know, he says, "I trust the gospel that I preach, that it will do what I say it will do. And so I don't have any problem preaching it because it's not going to make me ever be ashamed. It will bear what I say it will bear." And Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." And like I said, most translations will say, like in this one, it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the good news of Christ." And he says, it's not something that, in other words, he says, "But it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, or it works the power of God, and through it comes the power of God to everyone who will believe it.
Amen.
He says, I have no problem putting it out here, because the gospel will bring about the power of God, will manifest the power of God unto salvation to everyone who will believe it.
Yes.
And so he said, I don't have a problem preaching the gospel because it saves people.
Mm-hmm.
He says, and for the reason that it brings about, for it is the power of God unto salvation. In other words, he says, this is what really saves people. The gospel is what saves people. It's not the, I listen to various people, and even as I'm saying this, I'm going to change the, I got to say this in the right way, because I have a new mind and a new attitude concerning it. There are a lot of people now, I'm listening to some people, and I'm not knocking them, but I'm trying to get my hands around what it means to be a life coach. Mm-hmm. Is this a new term for pastor? Life coach, is that what we are now, life coaches?
Mm-hmm.
Then why are we calling them life coaches, not Jesus coaches?
Yes, yes.
Or gospel coaches.
Gospel coaches, that's what
there are many instances of life coaches, you know, but I'll leave that for the moment and go to Romans. If I have a life coach listening, I'm not really hard on you tonight. As a matter of fact, keep on, if you're preaching the gospel or whatever, keep on doing it. And if you have people listening to you, keep on going. Look at Romans 11th chapter. But I want to get the idea here of where Paul is. And in Romans, 11 and something? 11, 14.
14, yes.
And here Paul says, Romans 11, 14. He says in this one, Romans 11 and 13. For I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my office. In other words, he didn't say I exalt my office, but I build it up. I take full advantage of it. And he says to them in 13, I'm saying all this, especially you Gentiles, because God has appointed me as apostle to the Gentiles. And he says to this, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, which and might save some of them. He says, I'm speaking to all the tonight. He says, I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. He says, I'm preaching to the Gentiles in such a way that they would be saved, with the hope that really I will provoke the Jewish believers. And emulation means to compete.
Yeah.
And it means to try and outdo or whatever. And in this case, Paul says, I'm really trying to do whatever I can to get the Jewish people to believe in Christ.
Yes.
And he says, and if I can see the, if they, if, and I'm speaking to the Gentile believers tonight, and if I can get the Gentile believers to receive Christ and to be saved and be filled with the Holy Ghost, he says, when the Jewish people see the power of God in the Gentile believers' lives, hopefully it will provoke them to at least want to have the same thing.
Yeah.
I want to say this because Paul uses emulation here, which means heated. You know, some people are overly competitive.
Yeah.
And really, emulation in and of itself is something that the Bible says that you shouldn't have. And it also, in Galatians, the 5th chapter, refers to it as a sin, because
yes,
competitiveness brings about strife.
Yes,
and competitiveness brings about envy. But Paul says here, he says, anything that will provoke the Jews to come to Jesus, I'm willing to use.
Yeah.
And if it takes them not wanting to have the Gentiles outdo them to get them to sit down and listen to me preach Christ, then I'm fine with that too.
Yeah.
As long as I can get Christ preached to them.
Yes.
Because remember now, he said in Romans, the 1st chapter, it is the power of God unto salvation. And this is the point that many of us need to, and I'm learning myself, you know, we need to let the Word of God and the Spirit of God do the work.
Yeah.
And maybe we need to say less, but what we say needs to be the Word of God with the power and the Spirit of God. We need to let the Word of God and the Spirit of God do the work. You can trust the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and you will not be ashamed. What you say, if you will say, if you will use the Word of God and the Spirit of God, God will see you through. And that's the situation where God says His Word will not come back to Him void, or will not do what the Word is supposed to do.
Yeah.
So Paul lets us know in Romans, the first chapter, that he's going to Rome and he's going to preach the gospel. And he says that he might, in the first chapter, he says he might bestow upon them some spiritual gift. In other words, he's not saying, I'm going to lay hands on all of them and all of them are going to get the gift of discernment, or all of them are going to get the gift of miracles. He's saying, I want to move in the Spirit so that they are moved and receive something from God. Everything that comes from God is a gift. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Everything that comes from God is a gift. You earn nothing from God. The word that you receive from God is a gift. Now, I know when we refer to the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit and the nine, and then you can talk about the other ones that, of administration and helps and all these. I know those are gifts. And then again, the Bible refers to the positions in the church's gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And all, but everything that comes from God, my salvation is a gift.
Yes.
I didn't earn it in any way. There's nothing I have done to deserve it. It is a gift.
Yes.
So Paul, when he goes, he says, I might bestow upon them some spiritual gift or something in the Spirit.
Yes.
Maybe they need to be healed. It's
yes.
a gift.
Yes.
Maybe
yes.
they need a miracle. This is what he's saying. I'm going to work in the Spirit and pour out the Spirit and operate in the gifts, and they're going
yes.
to receive something.
Yeah.
To the bottom line, that they're going to be saved.
Yes.
The reason why they need to see a healing is so they'll believe on Jesus Christ and His power, and that He's the Son of God, the one that I'm preaching and teaching, and be saved.
Yeah.
The reason why I need to be able to tell them the very thoughts of their minds, as He says in another place, their very thoughts are revealed, and they will say that God is in you of a truth. He is saying with the end result that they will be saved.
Yes, yes.
Not just that they'll walk away and say, well, now, you know, I ain't going to mess with him, because I've seen sinners say, about preachers who have power, and to the preacher's credit, I don't take that away from him, but I've seen him say, oh, don't be messing with him, that man got power.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you know he has all that power, why aren't you saved?
Yes.
It isn't power for this power's sake. It's to cause men and women to be saved.
Yes.
So then let's look at another one. And he says in Philippians, and the reason why we are having service in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and the reason why we're here, it's for the preaching of the gospel that men and women might be saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 9.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 22. And I'll start with, I'll start at 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. He says, I don't really have to. It's not one of these things where I'm bound to anyone, where I have to preach, where I have to come, where I have to do anything. He says, but the point of it is he says, I made myself, I'm a minister, and a minister is a servant.
Yes.
He says that he might gain the more. In other words, I don't have to, I don't have to. Do anything for you, but he says, I became a servant and a minister unto them so I could gain them. Gain them for who? For Christ.
For Christ, yes.
And unto the Jew I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. And this is what Paul is saying. If the Jewish people don't believe in eating pork, Paul is saying to them, I will say to the Jewish believer, I understand that you don't eat, that this is something you don't eat.
Yeah.
And I have no problem with that.
Yes.
In other words, I accept that. Mm-hmm. Or if the Jewish believers would like to, they're still under the law, keeping the Sabbath, Paul would say, well, I don't really have a problem. It's not so much that I still keep the Sabbath, but if you don't do any servile work or anything on the Sabbath, I won't do it either.
Yeah.
Not when I'm with you.
Yes.
I'm not going to come into a Jewish house and sit down and bring my ham sandwich because they don't eat pork.
Right, yes.
And in today's terms, There are many things, but if we were to go into a church where the women wore dollies, you should wear one.
Yes.
I'm not going to their church. Many times when we were in Europe, you, in order to take a tour in cathedrals and things, you had to put something over your head. Women did.
Yeah.
You can call that sex as you want. I don't have anything to do with it. But the point being is, if you're going to go in there, you have to become like them.
Yeah.
If you were going to, the point being is because you know, as Paul says, I'm free from the law. I know there's nothing to this.
Yes.
But this is what they do, yes. And I'm going to go in among them and I have an opportunity to give them Christ. Then there's nothing wrong with it. Now I'm not going to go bow before Buddha or Allah in order to win them. That I'm not going to do.
Right. Yes.
Because then I am serving their God. I'm not going to do that. But if it comes to being among them and during Ramadan, they're fasting from daybreak to evening. Then no, I'm not going to try to encourage them to sit down and eat with me during that time frame. Because I want to get an opportunity not to offend them, but I want to gain their trust so that I might win some of them.
Right, yes.
Now, I'm never going to do anything that's contrary to God. I'm not going to do that. But there's so many things that, as James says, the many things we offend all. Mm-hmm. There's so many times we turn people off when we don't have to.
Right, yes.
We can talk, you know, they can say, I heard somebody saying the other day that they didn't like Hillsong or whatever it's called. Is that what it's called? Australian, whatever. I don't know what they find the problem. There's a whole list of things online with people protesting Hillsong. I don't know. I don't know much about them. But then don't listen to them.
Yeah.
But let them carry on whatever worship they have.
Yeah.
You know, you don't support them. They're all the way down in Australia, so what's your problem? And so he says in the next verse, to them that are without the law is without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ. And he says, to them that are without the law, referring to the Gentiles.
Yes.
He says that it isn't that, you know, I could just kill and steal and do all those things because I didn't have the Ten Commandments. But he says, but I was under the law of Christ.
Yes.
He said, I was never outside of that. Don't ever think that, you know, let me say this too while I'm saying it. You know, someone said one time, when I'm in the spirit, I'm not subject to any law. God never makes us outlaws.
No.
You know, you don't ever have to become an outlaw for God.
Yeah.
You can never do something that is illegal and underhanded and not right in the law and say you did it because of God. When you find Peter and James and John and all those apostles who are being persecuted for preaching Christ, they are not outside the law. The Jewish people referred to them as being blasphemous in that regard, but they weren't blasphemous because they were telling the truth.
Yes.
It isn't like they were. And then when they come against Paul and they said that he's the most petulant fellow and he's come in and he's really creating turmoil, he told the Roman jailers, he said, I didn't do any of that. He said, the only thing I did was came in and preached and said Jesus Christ was risen from the dead.
Right.
What was wrong with that?
Yes.
That's why he appealed to Caesar, because there was no law against that.
Right,
Don't ever say that you can go out and I've heard people in the military in chapel say, well, the reason why I'm not being promoted is because I spend so much time in church. No, you can't blame God for that.
Yeah.
You know, when you go to work, you're supposed to work.
Yes.
You're supposed to do your job. And then if your job is hinged on you making certain promotional steps and whatever, then God not only expects you to make them, he will help you make them.
Yes, yes.
So that you can be to the glory and greatness of God. And then if God says this way is not your way and you're supposed to be a preacher and a teacher, then you have no business trying to make that your career. You need to get out and be full-time in the ministry.
Ministry, yes, that's right.
Because God is not the author of confusion. So if you, so when Paul says this, he says, no, I'm free from the law. He says, but still, you know, I'm under the law of Christ. I can't just do anything I want and treat the Jewish believers or the Gentile believers any way I want. And then say it's because I'm free in Christ. I don't have to listen to anybody.
Right.
Then he says, to the weak I became as weak that I might gain the weak. In other words, the people who were down, the people who were oppressing. He says to them, and I made all things to all men that I might by all means. And the last two words say what? Say something.
Say something.
I became all things to all men. He says, whatever I needed to be. He says that they were if they were not, you know, if they were the people who were downtrodden or the meek or whatever, he says, I became like them. And the people who were having a difficult time, he says, I could identify with them. He says, I was able to meet them on whatever ground they were on with the intent that I might save some.
Yes.
And he uses the word save some.
Yeah.
He didn't say to the intent that I would get some filled with the Holy Ghost. He didn't have to.
Yeah.
Because when you say saved, that means that you received the Holy Ghost. If you haven't received the Holy Ghost, you're not saved. So we don't have to say, well, you know, when Paul says saved, he means received the Holy Ghost. By now, we should be able to know that when we say saved, it doesn't matter what other people say about it.
Yeah.
But the word means when the Bible refers to you being saved or having salvation, it means that you have become one that's in God.
Yes.
You have been saved from the pollution of the world and you from sin and from the world. And the Holy Spirit dwells within you.
Yes.
If the Holy Spirit does not dwell in you, you have not been saved.
Yeah, that's right.
So we don't have to go through a juvenile lecture every time we say saved and go through all the rudimentary steps, because that's what he refers to. That I might save some.
Yes.
That I might add some to the Lamb's Book of Life. That I might bring about new believers in Christ, because otherwise you're not saved. That they might believe in Christ and death. In other words, the reason why I entered into a relationship with these people, the reason why I took time with them was so that I could give them Christ, because he says, I am set to preach the gospel, he says in Romans, the first chapter.
Yes.
He says, with the intent that some would be saved, that I might bestow upon them a spiritual gift. They might receive the Holy Ghost. This is the whole point of his preaching and teaching. This is his utmost desire. So now we get to Philippians, don't we? And let's look at Philippians, the first chapter. Last scripture of the night. I'm almost done. Didn't take much time, did it? And in Philippians, down about verse number 15. Paul at this time is in prison. He's in prison in Rome. And you know what it's like when you go through a difficult time? Paul's in prison in Rome. He's never going to get out. It's amazing how many people who are supposedly, no, not even supposedly, they are in Christ. And they have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how many of them, when people have difficult times, they want to say that obviously they're doing something wrong.
Oh, yeah. Right, yes.
Job's three friends were like that when Job was going through.
Yeah.
Job was being tried and tested. And if there was, you've got to say that the time Job was being tried and tested, there was no one else on earth that God trusted that would make it through the trial more than Job.
Yes.
And you would say, Bishop Smith, how can you say something like this? Because that's the one God chose.
Yes, yes.
There was no one else that God, I didn't say there was no one else who could not have done it. Might have been.
Yeah.
But there was, and I didn't say he was the only one that God trusted.
Yeah.
But I said there was no one else that God trusted to make it through more.
Yes.
Because he said, have you tried my servant and called the man by name, Job?
Yes.
He says, Job won't, he won't leave me.
Mm-hmm.
I trust Job.
Yeah.
You know, now for God to make that statement about you, he has to know that your heart is purely linked to him.
Yes.
And he has to know that you're not linked to him because of gain. And he has to know that you are not linked to him because of fear of the devil. And he has to know that you are not linked to him for any other reason. Because no matter what happens, God is saying, Job is not going to leave me.
Yeah.
Job, in so many words, he says, Job loves me with a pure heart. Would to God he could say that all about all of us.
Yes.
And so he tries, you know, and when he tries Job, and when Job starts going through his trial, even though Job is a very godly person and he offers sacrifices like he's supposed to do, but when he starts to go through Job's friends show up and they accuse Job. They say to him, you must be doing something wrong for all these things that happen. It never occurs to them that not only is Job not doing anything wrong, but God trusts Job. And Job says to them, I haven't done anything wrong. He says, all my days, he says, I have served God and I continue to serve him. He says, I'm not going to leave God for any reason. He says, I'm waiting for my change to come. And I would like to know why it is I'm going through all this. This is not clear to me. He says, I'm human after all, and many of these things are happening, and I would like to have some explanation to God why this is going on. He says, but until I hear from God, I'm going to hold on to God. And though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Amen.
Even if he takes me to death, I will die trusting
God. Yes.
What a testament.
Yes.
But Job's friends don't let up. I mean, they just go on and on. And they've made up their minds in their self-righteous selves that if I am doing great and if you're not, you must be doing something wrong in God. We must never think that about anybody. Well, I wonder why they can't get well. Wonder what she doing. Wonder what he doing. You must never think that. It's that they are trusting God, and even as they go through, they are a testament of God's goodness and God's grace and the glory of God. So then Paul at this time is in prison in Rome, and he's in chains. And some people have stopped having fellowship with Paul because they're embarrassed by him. He's preached the gospel to them, and he's been set free at Caesarea Philippi, and he's done all these things. It's almost like in Elisha's case, after healing all these people and raising the dead, you find out in one chapter of the Bible, Elijah is sick unto death. Sick unto death. You think, my God, can't he heal himself? No, because these bodies are mortal and they're not going to live forever.
Oh, that's right.
So then Paul is in prison, and because he's in prison, you know, people are always whisperers, which is a sin, and they're always gossiping and doing all these things. And instead of asking God, like Job says, if I could just get to God, I'm going to ask him what's going on. They like to come up and surmise. And if you are really looking for a reason for something negative to happen, the devil will give you one.
Yes, he will.
He will send somebody along who can give some, what's the word, hypothetical, whatever it is, that heard somebody say. I was thinking about the other day, you know, two things that I've made up my mind I will not do. One of them is that I won't go to anyone and say, well, somebody told me something, such and such and such and such. Either I will tell them who told them, or I will just say outright, is this what's going on? But I won't bring the somebody.
Yes.
Because I am man enough to ask my own
questions. Yes.
And if I can't provide you a name, I'm not going to bring a somebody.
Yes.
Well, somebody told me I don't want to mention no name. Well, if you don't mention any name, you don't want to tell me what they said.
That's right. That's gossip. Yep.
You take the credit for it. And you ask the question. If you can't produce a name, you ask.
Yeah.
I need to know. And say, well, how will I do that, Bishop, if I'm asking the question for somebody else I don't want to hear? Say, well, you can say this. You know, I was talking to someone, and Bishop, I have a question for you. What about this? And you ask the question, and you take them the answer. But if you can't bring them by name, especially if it's a rumor, and it's underhanded, and it's whispering, and you're just pushing it along, you know, it's dirt, and you're just sweeping it on through. If it's not substantial, and since it has such a high probability of being a lie, it would probably be good for you not to repeat it.
That's right.
And let it die, because, you know, when you start repeating a lie, you become a liar yourself.
Yeah.
You know, because you're carrying on a lie. If you can't validate it, let it fall to the ground, and perhaps it'll die. Where no talebearer is, strife ceases.
Yes.
That's what the Bible says.
Yes.
So then Paul is in prison, and as Paul's in prison, they're always, you know, everybody has some story as to why he's in prison, and the answer is really obvious, and if they really thought about it, they would know. He's in prison because the Jewish people wanted to kill him, and he appealed to Caesar, and you find out in Acts, because of his innocence, because since he was born in a Roman state, he although he's Jewish, he is a Roman, and he has a right to appeal to Caesar. And they take him to Rome. The Jews accuse him of blasphemy. Well, when he gets to Rome, Nero's there, and you have to read Josephus and all those who read about all the accounts of it, but Nero is killing all the Christians, and Paul falls into that category, and so therefore he's going to be executed sooner or later. But the point of it is, he's preaching the gospel to the end that people may be saved. And Paul says, and at the same time that some people are falling away from him and embarrassed by him, others are seeing his steadfastness in Christ. And as the news reports go out, they didn't have a newspaper, but news still got out, about this man who's preaching the gospel and moving in signs and wonders. Publicity is publicity. And Paul says, and what has happened to me has fallen out to the furtherance of the gospel. Because of me being in Rome, my fame has been spread abroad, and more people have heard the gospel than would have heard if I was doing it myself. It has fallen out to the furtherance of the gospel. He says, now many people have different reasons for following me, since not all of their methods are pure. And this is what I like. He said to them, in Philippians, he says in the 15th chapter, he says, some indeed preach Christ for strife and envy, for envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. He says, while I'm locked up in prison, and they hear about the miracle working power that I have, he says that while I am being held captive here, some of them think it's a good opportunity, since they still have this competitiveness in them. Still, you know, watch out for people who are competitive. They can be very godly. They can be in God. But you know what? If they don't learn to tame that competitive spirit, that emulation, it will come out on them even in their ministry. And they'll look at the preacher next to them and declare that I'm gonna outrun you. You're never going to outrun me. Or they'll say, you're never going to catch me. You must be planning on running to hell, because if you're going to heaven, I sure am going to catch up with you when we get caught up.
That's right. Yes.
Only way I'm not going to catch you is if you're not going where I'm going.
That's right.
Because the final destination is heaven.
Yes.
And you might preach more sermons, read more scriptures, save more people, work more miracles. But I guarantee you, at some point in time when we see Jesus, we will all arrive at the same destination if you're going where I'm going.
Yes, amen.
So I won't say, I don't dare say that you're not saved if you have that mind, but I'm saying emulation is the sin. So Paul says some of them preach for strife and envy. He says, and they like to compete, and they look at the people who are following me, and they want that.
Yes.
And they look at the people who love me, and they want that.
Yes.
And they look at the churches I built, and they want that.
Yes.
And they want what God has given me, and they're preaching, and in their mind they're saying, I'm going to have more churches, and I'm going to have more people, and I'm going to do all this. He says some people preach for that. He says, and then some people preach for goodwill. In other words, he says some people really have a pure heart. They're really going out, and they're trying to do what we're doing in God. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. In other words, he says, those do not have a pure motive as they preach about Christ. They preach it with a selfish ambition. Some people, I heard one person one time, I don't know if he's changed. I don't know if the Holy Ghost has changed him or not. But I remember when he first started preaching, we were in the chapel, and this person saw somebody preaching. He said, I can preach better than that. And he wasn't even called preaching. He said, I can do that. In no time at all, he jumped up and started preaching. Paul knows what I'm talking about. And I assume he's preaching to this day, and glory to God. I hope he keeps on preaching. If that's what inspired him to preach, keep on preaching. And Paul says, and there are others, they preach because they love me, for they know I've been appointed to defend the good news. In other words, he says, the one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, it's supposed to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice. Yea, I will rejoice. Now, and I'm almost finished. You know what? And I'll finish my testimony from the other day. I got out of my car, and I didn't see Lyndon at first. He's a good brother. He's helped us out with food campaigns and things. I'm sure he'll mind me mentioning his name because this is good. And he looks over at me because he knows we don't have many members. They see the same three cars come here all the time. He knows all about that. And we've talked about it. Yeah. He says, "You need a good deacon." I said, "Lord, I do." He says, "Well, is your church open yet?" I said, "Yes, it's been open. Anybody who wants to come and sit in the sanctuary is certainly welcome to come. It's been open for a while. It seats and space, and we're all vaccinated pretty much. Ellisman just got one more to go, and we haven't had, you could have always come."
Yes.
At the height of the pandemic, the only time the church was really closed was when the governor of Florida said that we were 65 and older, we weren't supposed to be outside of our house.
Yes.
So in keeping with the law, we did everything from home. But as soon as we were able to come back, we opened the doors. And if people don't come now, it's because they just don't want to.
Come.
That's on them, too. And say, are they unsaved? They don't come. No.
No.
You know, this is the thing about God. I thought about the other day with the situation that's going on right now. You know, when people want to do something, they do so willingly. And God will have people do things willingly. When we start mandating things and making things obligatory or making people obligated to come, because people love God, they will come.
Yeah.
But now they're not coming with a willing mind. They're coming out of obedience.
Yes.
And to God, that's good that they're coming out of obedience.
Yes.
But it is not the mind and spirit that you want them to come in. But either way they come, you want to be blessed. But the point being is, the doors are open.
Yes.
And people can choose to come or not come.
Yes.
We would hope that they would. But anyway, if they sit and hear us on Zoom, still the word of God is being preached.
Yes.
And Paul makes this point. He says, yes, not all preachers. And we're notorious for it.
Yeah.
Every preacher you name, I have heard in the church that I belong to, the organization I belong to, I've heard somebody say there was something wrong with me. You mentioned Creflo Dollar. He's making too much money. He is making a lot of money. If he's doing it for the money, and some of his tactics and whatever I've heard, I think are disreputable, and I wouldn't do them. But he's preaching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Kenneth Hagin. Same thing. Go down the list. All of them. Now Paula White, I can't go with because I think she done went out there somewhere.
Yeah.
But you name them. T.D. Jakes, just name them. Bind them. I used to eat one when Tamika Harris was here. I have to apologize to her because I just raided on her for Juanita Bynum. I was just as wrong as I could be.
Yeah.
Should have left her alone. If she could hear the gospel from Juanita Bynum, so be it. As long as the word of God is being preached. So Lyndon got out the other day and said to me, is your church growing? I said, well, we have a few people here and there that come from time to time. He says, well, we've had 50 people join our church in the last 8 months. And most of them are young and teenagers, and they're just really loving it. And you know, he's just really rubbing it in, or so he thought.
Yeah.
But the Spirit had worked a work in me because I'd asked God to break a yoke.
Yeah.
And I just thought to myself, that's wonderful. You know how we say that's wonderful, but inwardly we don't feel like it's wonderful.
Yes.
And we say glory to God, but we're really envious.
Yes.
And we say thank you, Jesus, but that's not what we'd like to say, because we would not like to see your church outdo our church. That yoke needs to be broken in me.
Yes, yes.
It needs to be broken in all of us.
All of us. Yes.
It needs to be so that even this meeting I'm going to. I won't even comment on the meeting, but Chandra asked me about it. I said, well, I hope the people that come are blessed.
Yeah.
They come, they deserve a blessing.
Yes.
And God will bless them regardless of the preacher. So will God bless them in part and strike by the preacher? Absolutely.
Right.
You know why? Because God has compassion on the people.
Yes.
I used to think that if the preacher wasn't right, the people couldn't get blessed. I changed my mind. Because God will move in a preacher who's greedy.
Yeah.
And God will move in a preacher that's obstinate. And God will move in a preacher that's petty. And God will move. If the people need to be blessed, God will move.
Yeah.
So, show me that. Balaam was backslidden.
Yeah.
And every time the people of Israel were ready to go up to battle, God would bless the people through Balaam's prophecy. And Balaam was there for the wrong reason, had the wrong reason in his heart. Everything about him was wrong. And yet, when he opened his mouth, God blessed the people. Rock, Moses is mad. And had enough of the people. The people are as wrong as three left shoes. Been fussing ever since they left Egypt. But God is merciful. Ezekiel made the point. He said, these people that you've given, that you sent out, he says, all of you in Israel, he says, you're backslidden among the heathens. He said, the priests are taking bribes. He said, none of you are doing anything you're supposed to do, and the pastors are not guiding the people. But God said, you defiled my name before the heathens. He said, but yet I will sanctify my own name, and I'm going to save you so the heathens will know that I really am God. And it's not because you've done anything worth doing, but for but for my own namesake, I'm going to move.
Yes, his namesake, yes.
You can never sit back. You know, there are many times the preacher's been praying, the preacher's been fasting, the preacher's heart is pure as gold, and God is moving. That's good.
Yeah.
But there are times when God moves because the people need a miracle.
Yes.
And the people need water.
Yes.
And the people need to be blessed.
Yes.
And we should never step back, whether we have been praying and fasting and God is really moving through us, it's the Lord.
Yes.
And if we've been fussing and fighting all week, and when we come in, all of a sudden God gives us the word, best sermon we ever preached, and the people gets blessed, it's still the Lord.
Lord. Yes.
And don't tell me you can't really be on the wrong side of the track and come in and preach a great sermon because I've done it. Because the people needed to hear a word from God. It isn't something you should always do. And you should be so humble before God when you're wrong and God uses you. It should break your heart. And you should come in and tell God, I thank you so much, and make a vow to God. And you don't have to be a preacher. When you're wrong and God blesses you, you're wrong and you get a mailbox blessing, you should say, thank you, Jesus. You're wrong and God heals you, you should glorify God. You're wrong and get a job. You're wrong and get a house. You're wrong and get a car. You should glorify God. And you shouldn't sit up and say, it's because of my goodness and because I'm so right before God. No, you're wrong. It's because of the mercy of God, and God will sanctify his name.
Yes. Amen.
So, well, that doesn't happen, bitch. It happens all the time.
Yes, it does.
Because we are never perfect enough to be blessed by God.
No.
It is of his grace and his
mercy.
So he said to me, we've had 50 people in the last 8 months. And the Lord said to me, I said, well, praise the Lord, glory to God. And I meant it. And I came into prayer thanking God for the people that were saved. And then I knew the mind that Paul had. Paul said, some of these preachers are going out and they're preaching the gospel, but it's to line their pockets. But people are hearing the gospel. And he said, some of these preachers are going out, and the only reason why they're running as hard as they're trying to outdo me, build more churches, do it, but people are hearing the gospel. He said, some of them are spiteful, for envy, have the wrong heart. And he said, and some of them are just good ministers. He says, whether they're just good ministers or whether their motive is totally wrong, as long as they will preach the gospel. He says, because the bottom line in all these churches, no matter what, and it's not about the miracles and the healings. Everybody needs a healing. Sister Nancy needs one. Paula needs one. Elder Roger, they all need to be healed. But the bottom line is God, the Holy Ghost, manifests his power so that people will be saved. And Paul says, all the things I do is so that I might save some. It's good to do a community work. I wish we had the people I was talking to. Elder Nathan the other week, I wish we had the people that implement some of the programs he talks about. The community needs them, we need them, and we would get out to the people, and I'm praying at some point in time, maybe we'll be able to facilitate some. It doesn't fall on deaf ears when I hear it. I'd love to, and I'm praying and asking God to send that. But the bottom line out of every bowl of soup we give is that they get the gospel and be saved. And maybe out of 100, only 10 will ever be saved. But that's what all the soup was for.
Yes.
And the reason why we gave out all the clothes was so that someone would hear the gospel and they would be saved. But whatever movement we do, if we meet the poor because we give them a dollar, if we meet the poor because we give them shoes, it's so we can tell them those shoes came from God. That dollar came from God. And God is a deliverer. And if you'll have the God I have, not only will you have these shoes, but many more pair.
Yes, yes.
Bottom line is to tell him it's not just a God of shoes, but he's the God of heaven, and he's the God of everlasting life, and he's the God of forgiveness. He's the God who will mend and lift up and give you eternal life, that you might have heaven, that you might be saved. And Paul is saying, I'm not gonna talk bad about Creflo anymore, because as long as he will preach the gospel.
Yes.
Now, if he's not preaching the gospel, different story.
Yeah.
But just for the sake of every preacher you point out, there's something wrong with the Baptists. Are they preaching the gospel? Good. There's something wrong with the Methodists. Are they preaching the gospel? Good. There's something wrong. I can't name everybody, because there's one group that goes from door to door. They're not preaching the gospel. The caveat here is preaching the gospel.
The gospel, yes.
Paul's point is, he's not naming everybody who's got a soapbox and out in the middle of public. The point that he's making is, they must be preaching the gospel.
Yes.
They might not be the purest of heart, but they're preaching the gospel.
Yes.
And everywhere the gospel is preached, and Paul's bottom line was, people need to be saved.
Yes.
It is so that people are saved. It's not a meeting, it's not a meeting just to come and bring everybody, because I'm trying to hold the church together. That's not what it's about. People need to be saved.
Yes.
It's not about you just trying to maintain your power over me. People need to be saved.
Yes.
When we preach, it's for the gospel of God, so that people are saved. It's not, the gospel is not for me to determine that the people are mine to have an audience in front of me all the time, and to upbuild me and give me grand anniversaries and give me praise and talk about how great I am and how deep I am and all this, and all these accolades and all this. This is not what the gospel is for.
Mm-hmm.
You can do whatever you want, but if people aren't being saved, your word is not bearing fruit.
No, that's true. That's right.
So Paul's reason for this today, because people say, well, Paul, Paul's bottom line, and the reason why I had so much joy. And as soon as he told me that, the first thing came to my mind was the Spirit said to me, you need to stop knocking the Presbyterians and all the people that are wherever they are, as long as they're getting people saved. And don't get into the weeds. He said it got 50 people saved. I don't know if they're saved or not. It's not for you to know.
No.
It is the Holy Spirit who searches the heart and he decides.
Yes.
If the word comes that they saved, I was looking at Pastor Bowles. One weekend he had a revival. He had 40 people who came to Christ. And that Sunday morning, 16 of them went into the water. What am I supposed to do? What is Bowles preaching? How do I know Bowles is getting them saved? They ain't got nothing. Hey, stop doing that. And trust God. And say, glory to God. I'm so glad 40 people got saved in Bowles' church. I'm so glad 16 of them went into the water. Because he's preaching the gospel. It is not for me to dissect whether or not each one of them received the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And then we get around to saying, in order for me to say, I need to see a sign. we need to stop.
Yes, we do.
And I've gone along with it for a long time. But you know who needs to see a sign? The Holy Ghost does.
God.
And if it's all about that, why would he need to search my heart?
Yeah, that's right.
So Paul says to them, he says, some of the people while I'm in here, they're preaching the gospel, and they might even be saying that I don't have the gospel. They might be saying, I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and if Paul has it, I don't see why he's sitting in chains. Paul said, that's all right. I know why I'm in chains. You know how some people like to say, I got all these gifts, and I got all this power. Where's y'all's gifts, and where's all your power? You know what you need to say? I know what I got. I got God.
Yes.
And going, I had to learn that.
Yes.
Because the idea is, I'll raise myself up by pushing you down.
Yes.
And you have to say to yourself, but you know what? I got God.
Yes.
Maybe I'll tell you what. Maybe I've never prayed a prayer in public. You need to say to yourself, maybe I've never prayed a public prayer. But I know one thing, my sins are forgiven, I've been washed, I got the Spirit dwell on the inside, heaven is in my view, and I'm going on in God. And you should be able to tell somebody, and somebody will say, are you a preacher? You didn't know I'm none of those things, but I'm a servant of God. I can tell you this, you need eternal life. I got it, and it feels so good.
Yes.
I've got the ultimate insurance policy, it'll last forever.
Yes.
You need to be able to tell people. We need to be able to say, stop looking at it. And we like to say, now, the Baptist, we need to stop doing that.
Yes.
I told someone today, you want to throw this nationalism on me. Well, here in America, like Russia and China and all them are going to, and I told him very quickly, I said, I don't know where you get the idea that the U.S. has the monopoly on God. I said, Jesus is in every country in the world. We're not the only people who know about Jesus.
Yes.
I said, matter of fact, I said, they have people who worship Christ in Russia, people who worship Christ in China and every place else.
Yes.
And that was the end of that, that was the end of that conversation.
Yes.
Because they have this mindset that whatever they're in, we're the only people who have God.
Yeah,
and we in the United States, we're the only people who have Jesus. We're the ones who are supposed to save the whole world because we're the only ones who have Jesus.
Yeah.
Don't you know the Savior of the world is Jesus?
Yeah.
Don't you know that America's not even mentioned in the Bible? It's not even considered. We're the other people that aren't even talked about.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't you know that in the final days of the Battle of Armageddon and everything, America's not even mentioned? It's not even included?
No.
We're just people who are in the earth loving God.
And
the best thing you can do is be with Christ when he comes back, not somebody sitting down here waiting.
Yes.
That's what you need to do. Just make sure that when he comes back, you're with him and not one of those sitting down here waiting to be delivered.
That's right.
Then we get that way in our churches. We're the only ones who got God.
Yeah.
Everybody else has a problem.
Yeah.
We can find some chink in everybody's armor and some reason why they don't have God like we have God. It's wrong with this, and it's wrong with that, and it's wrong with this. People have been saved when they're slaves and they couldn't read, and the only thing they knew was Jesus.
Jesus, that's right.
They weren't taught about him being the Son of God. There were none of those things. They were just told, if you call on Jesus, Jesus delivers.
Yes.
God delivers. Yes. And the true God delivered them.
Yes, yes.
And here we are educated, so now we dissect what everybody's got so we can find fault with everybody. You know, we need to stop doing that because, you know how they have break and they have news alert around the screen? Yeah. I got news for you. There are some people who are not a member of our church and our organization, and they look at this organization, and they're picking out things about us that makes us be ungodly. And they're sitting there watching and saying, you know what, they claim they got all that, but let me tell you about this, and let me tell you about that, and they got it going. And the truth of it is, and a great part of it is probably whether it's true or not. The bottom line is, every one of us has to be washed in the blood.
Good. Amen. That's right. Yep.
There's not a person. The only person who ever walked the earth who didn't need the blood was the person with the blood.
Yeah,
and the only person who didn't have to be washed in the blood was the person that the blood came from. Everybody else has to be cleansed, and the blood has to be presented for the cleansing of our sins and washing of all of us. And that's why Paul says, if they would just preach the gospel, he says, it doesn't matter to me that they're competing. He says that they'll preach the gospel. He says God can work with them whether they're envious or not, as long as they'll preach the gospel. And God can take care of them or not, whether they're in strife or not, as long as when they get up there, we'll preach the gospel so that somebody will be saved.
Amen.
We need to have the same mind.
Yes.
Our motive and our method, it should be pure.
Amen.
Hopefully it's pure.
Yes.
But the bottom line is what we need to get from Paul. And it goes on in Philippians and tells us that's the reason why he leads into let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
That the only reason why he came was to save sinners.
Yes.
In another place, John writes, and he says, when John writes, he says, the truth is Jesus Christ came to save sinners.
Yes.
I thank God for his goodness and his mercy tonight. I thank God for the word of God. Let our work and our method be about saving sinners. Let us
get out of here.
Let us let what we're doing and the reason why we are where we are, let it be about saving sinners. Let it be the reason why we preach everybody standing. So people to be brought into the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And then if someone's preaching the gospel, if you can't find a hole in their gospel, leave them alone.
Yes.
If they're preaching Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, and they're preaching, the one true God, Jehovah God, and preaching and being filled with the Holy Ghost and receiving the Holy Spirit and preaching eternal life and Jesus Christ and the resurrection and Jesus Christ and the rapture, leave them alone.
Yes.
As long as they have the gospel, leave them alone.
Yes.
and get out of their method, because the truth of it is, somebody could ask you, what is your, what's your purpose?
Yes.
Why are you doing it?
Yeah.
What's your motive, for preaching? How did you get here?
Yeah.
Why are you here?
Yes.
If you can question someone else's motive, they have a right to question yours.
That's right. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me pray. I'm praying for Chandra. I'm praying for what am I praying for? This knee.
Yes. I can barely get down the steps.
My Lord, because you're getting old. Praise the Lord. Let me pray for you. I'm going to pray for Minister Smith. And let me grab the mic, though, since I sometimes walk off camera. I guess it's got a battery in it. It doesn't. Somehow or another, I don't know how it always, whoever puts it back, never turns
turn
it
off.
Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that you touch Chandra in her body and touch this knee.
Yes.
And now, this is my daughter, y'all, so don't be he touching any young girl. I put diapers on them. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, touch this knee. In Jesus' name, and Lord, make her all the way whole. In the name of Jesus, Lord, by your miracle work and power. And Lord, confirm the word that I preached tonight, Lord, by moving and touching her and her body. And Lord, in this other area, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would make it clean. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and deliver in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, tonight, Lord, for Sister Nancy. Lord, for Sister Nancy. Lord, just touch Sister Nancy. She has all these things going on in her body. Lord, touch her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. And in the name of Jesus, I command you to be made whole.
Yes.
Lord, just sweep over her body from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet.
Yes.
According to the word preached tonight, Lord, that men and women need to be saved, oh God. Let the preaching of the gospel be for the salvation of souls, for the saving of souls. Lord, touch our prayer tonight, Ella Harrison tonight, in Jesus' name. Lord, move in all those that are sick. I don't see Ella Tien Laranda's up tonight. Lord, touch her. Everybody who has any ailment tonight, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and make them all way whole in Jesus' name. Move by the power of God, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. And let the testimony go forth of the goodness of God, that men and women would be saved, that we would save some. Lord, let the testimony, Lord, be to someone in our offices that would cause them to think about God being a good God, wondering, why not me? Lord, let the testimony be to people in our families of what the Lord has done. Lord, that they would say, how about me? And the people we meet on the street and wherever we are, that we can say that God is a good God. Lord, let it not be any longer, Lord, that we ask, do you go to church? And when they tell us their denomination, we say, oh, well, okay. No, Lord. Give us a clean heart. Lord, that we would give everyone, even as the Apostle Paul, if you preach the gospel, give the gospel an opportunity to work. After all, Lord, it is you. It's you and your power of the Holy Spirit that does all the saving and all the delivering and all the washing and all the cleansing. It's not us. And it's not them either, oh God. Lord, if the word of God will go forth, Lord, let it be, Lord, as Isaiah spoke. Lord, I pray, Lord, let the word of God go forth and not return unto you without performing that which you sent it to do. Lord, let it be as the snow, as Isaiah says. Let it just slowly sink in and wash and cleanse and give men and women the mind to be saved. Lord, I don't even remember the. I remember when the miracle was and how the miracle was in me. But Lord, in the process, I couldn't tell anybody, but all I know is when I heard the gospel, it saved me.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray, Lord, that the same way I heard the gospel save me, it would save many others. Lord, let me turn my mind and our attention and all we do to the saving of souls and get away, Lord, from the business of earth and be about our Father's business. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. Thank God for his goodness and his mercy. I thank God for all of you. Pray the word of God. You can be seated, I promise.